Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the remnants of Hurricane Ida batter the Northeast.
Flooding and tornado watches stall commuters from New York to Boston, and we'll bring you the very latest.
Plus, a major move by the Supreme Court on a controversial abortion case.
The New York State Legislature extends an eviction moratorium. Plus, Governor Hochul names a former New York City mayoral candidate to a top post. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Garrett Cole pitched the Yankees to victory. Sloane Stephens beat Coco Gauff at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are higher this morning, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 58, NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.28%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 22 cents at $68.80 a barrel. Nathan.
Well, Karen, this morning we begin in New York City, where the remnants of Hurricane Ida have the tri-state area paralyzed. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live from New York with the very latest. What a mess, Michael.
Oh, my goodness, Nathan. Good morning. The remnants of Hurricane Ida made a deadly mess of the city that never sleeps.
I was driving down, and then I was taking my time, and I see the car start floating, you know.
And then his car shut off on the Bronx River Parkway. That driver had to crawl through the car window to escape. Manhattan's FDR Drive was also underwater in some areas. Stalled vehicles were littered on the roads from floods caused by the heavy rains from Ida. According to the NYPD and New Jersey police, at least 8 people now are dead from the flooding. A state of emergency was called along with flash flood warnings. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says we're in a dire situation. The MTA had to suspend all subway service in the city. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
What I'd say we're hearing on the subways, and I spoke to Governor Hochul earlier as well. I mean, we've got subway problems all over the city. Again, basically, they're not functioning in most places.
Overnight, de Blasio told people to get to safety.
It is absolutely crucial for people to get off the road. If anyone's thinking of going out, don't. If you're on the road, get to safety immediately. Do not go to the MTA. As you, I think you know, subway lines are having tremendous problems. In fact, our first responders are getting people off some trains that were stuck.
Some subway riders had to stand on seats and flooded out cars. There were multiple reports of tornado touchdowns in New Jersey, including one in Mullica Hill, where several homes were destroyed. This man lost the roof of his home in the storm.
Right now we're trying to figure out where we're going to go. Plenty of support, neighbors, friends, and family. But what do you do?
The storm carried into New England with threats of more tornadoes. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, it's not just New York City feeling the pain from this storm. Washington, D.C. had it yesterday, and now the Boston area is under flood warnings, plus a tornado watch for southern Massachusetts. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn joins us now with details. Rob.
Karen, the big issue with the remnants of Ida is we've had a clash between cool air to the north, temperatures in the mid and upper 50s across southern New Hampshire, and then temperatures in the lower 70s across the Cape and Islands in southeastern Massachusetts. So that's a very efficient way to wring out this tropical moisture, and that's why we've had such heavy rainfall rates, a half an inch to an inch an hour from central Massachusetts towards the coast. We've also had some very strong thunderstorms move from New Bedford to the Cape. The good news about all of this is it's moving faster than forecast, so the rain should wind down very, very quickly during the morning. I'm Rob Carolyn, Bloomberg Daybreak.
I'm certainly waiting for that, Rob. Thank you. In the meantime, stay safe on the roads. We're going to keep you updated on the situation, including details in traffic reports throughout the morning on Bloomberg Radio. Meantime, we want to turn our attention to politics with the Supreme Court front and center this morning after the justices refused to block a Texas law that outlaws most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
A sharply divided court declined to put the law on hold while the legal fight goes forward. At the center of the debate is how the law is to be enforced, allowing any private party to sue anyone who helps a woman get an abortion. The Supreme Court's refusal to block the law is seen as a watershed moment, allowing a law at odds with Supreme Court precedents and raising new questions about the future of Roe v. Wade. The vote was 5-4. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the liberal justices in dissent. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, it looks like Moderna is getting a step closer to getting approval to start a booster shot program. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us now with the latest. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Moderna says it's filed data with the FDA for clearance for a third dose of its COVID vaccine. The company says the shot uses a reduced dose that's half as much as the existing vaccine and that it raised antibody levels against the Delta variant by more than 40-fold in a clinical trial. After its U.S. submission, Moderna says it plans to also submit the data to regulators in Europe and other countries. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Another corporate news this morning. It looks like Google's coming under regulatory scrutiny yet again. U.S. officials are preparing a second monopoly case against the company over its digital advertising business. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
It steps up the government's claims that Google is abusing its dominance. A source says the Justice Department has accelerated its investigation of Google's digital advertising practices and may file a lawsuit as soon as the end of the year. The department's scrutiny of Google's control of the ad tech market goes back to the Trump administration. The DOJ under then Attorney General William Barr sued Google over its search business instead, alleging the company used exclusive distribution deals with wireless carriers and phone makers to lock out competition. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And Apple this morning has resolved a long-running dispute with third-party developers. App creators will now no longer have to pay an App Store commission of up to 30%. The change is part of a settlement with the Japan Fair Trade Commission, and Apple says it'll be implemented globally early next year. Checking Apple shares this morning, they're up 0.4% in early trading. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street. Of course, the top local headline is the aftermath of Ida. We go right back to Michael Barr for the very latest. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. According to the NYPD and New Jersey Police, at least 8 people are now dead from the flooding from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. Cars were littered on the Grand Central Parkway, the Bronx River Parkway, several interstates and roads. All flooded at one point, catching cars and drivers who tried to make it through.
The car just started floating and shut off.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We have our first responders out there responding to a lot of situations around the city. We got over 5,000 homeowners without power. This is a hard hit we've taken from Hurricane Ida.
Mayor de Blasio says he has never seen this much rainfall in a short period of time. Tornadoes touched down in New Jersey, destroying homes in Mullica Hill. Driving this morning will be a headache in the area. Let's get a live traffic report from Peter Van. Peter?
All right, Michael, still very tough. Garden State Parkway still shut down both ways between exits 143 and 145. Then northbound, you're closed 145 up towards 147. Extensive flooding on 22 with closures through Greenbrook and North Plainfield. Route 109 southbound, that's closed down in the express lanes if you're making your way over towards Newark Airport. Into town, no problems. George Washington Bridge, Lincoln and Holland Tunnels. Because of flooding, FDR Drive still closed from the 60s up towards the FDR Drive towards the RFK Triborough Bridge. And eastbound service for Long Island Railroad is suspended. You also have service suspended on Metro North and New Jersey Transit trains with the buses cross-honoring. Michael?
Thank you. Peter Van live. And, of course, we'll be checking in with Peter Van all through the morning on this traffic mess. The New York State Legislature voted to extend an eviction moratorium for tenants who fell behind on their rent because of hardships because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Governor Kathy Hochul said the legislation will stand up to legal scrutiny.
Under my watch here in the state of New York, we're not going to exacerbate what is already a crisis in terms of the homelessness problem. We are not going to allow people who no fault of their own, lost income, not able to pay, and facing eviction. We are not going to allow that to happen here in the great state of New York.
Meanwhile, Catherine Garcia, who failed to secure the Democratic nomination for New York City mayor in June, was appointed as director of state operations by New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. As we come up to 6:10 on Wall Street, let's check in with John Stanshar for a Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
All right, Nathan. It is essentially the definition of an ace pitcher. When a team has lost four in a row and the ace takes the mound, he ends the losing streak. And it's exactly what Gerrit Cole did last night. Sensational for the fourth start in a row, all since he had COVID. Cole, in seven innings, struck out 15, did not walk a batter. The Yankees beat the Angels 4-1, ending the road trip going 5-4. The Red Sox ended Tampa Bay's nine-game winning streak, and the Dodgers moved into first place for the first time since April. They moved a half game ahead of the Giants. Mets and Marlins rained out on a day where another Mets general manager got in trouble. First, it was Jared Porter. Inappropriate texts with a female reporter that cost Porter his job. His replacement, Zach Scott, got a DUI 4 o'clock Tuesday morning in White Plains. Rain obviously washed out most of the matches at the U.S. Open. Ash and Armstrong stadiums have roofs, but the rain got through the roof last night in Armstrong. They had to move a match into Ash. Sloane Stephens, who won the Open in 2017, had that narrow first round win over fellow American Madison Keys. A much easier time for Stephens last night. 6-4, 6-2 over another fellow American, Coco Gauff. Also last night, a win for Stefano Tsitsipas. The fans booed him in reaction to Andy Murray's complaints that Tsitsipas took too much time in his bathroom breaks. Also winning, Naomi Osaka in a walkover, Simona Halep, Victoria Azarenka, Daniel Medvedev, and American Francis Tiafoe. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. Futures higher this morning. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 59. NASDAQ futures up 30 points. The 10-year Treasury is up as well, up 2/32. The yield, 1.28%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, the calm after the storm. Sunshine today and tomorrow. Low 70s, will be in the upper 70s by Saturday. Right now, cloudy after all the rain in Central Park. 62 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are posting modest gains with U.S. stock index futures as a cautious tone settles over markets the day before key U.S. jobs data. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 1.28%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 24 cents at $68.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $3.20 at $18.19.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1854 against the dollar. British pound 1.3794. And the yen is at 110. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Relentless rain from the remnants of Hurricane Ida sent the New York City area into a state of emergency as the storm carried into New England with threats of more tornadoes. The National Weather Service office in New York declared its first ever set of flash flood emergencies in the region last night. That's an alert level that is reserved for exceedingly rare situations. The storm blew through the mid-Atlantic states yesterday with at least two tornadoes, heavy winds, and drenching rains that collapsed the roof of a U.S. Postal Service building in New Jersey and threatened to overrun a dam in Pennsylvania. At least 8 people are dead in New York and New Jersey. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees won along with the Red Sox. The Orioles, Giants, and A's lost. The Mets and Nationals games were postponed because of weather. In tennis, Sloane Stephens knocked out Coco Gauff at the U.S. Open. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue our coverage of the aftermath of what was left of Hurricane Ida inundating New York City and the Northeast. We are joined once again by Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. And Rob, there is no question that if you live in and around New York City, we got slammed.
We did. We saw what tropical storms do, Nathan. They take moisture from the tropics and drive it towards the poles. And the remnants of Ida did it very, very efficiently yesterday afternoon and last night. When you see rainfall rates of half an inch in 6 minutes, that is a truly tropical air mass. Newark Airport reported half an inch of rain in 6 minutes last evening.
Wow.
A total of almost 9 inches from the event at Newark. Central Park had over 7 inches of rain. First day of September is in the books, and it's already like the 17th wettest September on record in Central Park. That rainfall now is sweeping quickly across New England. That's where we're seeing all the flash flood warnings right now. New England probably not seeing 9 inches of rain, but the South Coast and the Cape probably going to come in over 4 inches. The Boston area is certainly going to come in over 3 inches. The good news out of this, Nathan, at least for New England this morning, is the system is moving faster than forecast, so the rain is going to get out earlier than we thought. So I don't think things are going to be quite as bad across New England as they've been, particularly across the tri-state area and New York and northern New Jersey. It has been horrific to see, you know, totals between 6 and 10 inches of rain across that region.
Yeah, certainly not just in New England, but in the New York City and the tri-state area. I mean, Rob, when you're talking about 6 inches in an hour, I mean, is there any way to prepare for something like that?
Well, the good news is, Nathan, we didn't see 6 inches in the New York City area. The highest total I've seen for an hour is 3 inches, at about 3.15. But you have to keep in mind the problem with New York is it's all paved. So there's no place for this water to go. It doesn't go into the ground. It just accumulates where it can't drain off. And as we saw from a lot of the videos overnight, it went into the subway system. It went into people's basements where it couldn't drain. It caused flooding on highways and in parts of downtown. You cannot prepare for that type of rainfall, particularly in a paved surface, because it just has nowhere to go. And these tropical storms are, when they're dying, they're notorious for doing this. When Irene went through the Northeast back in 2011, it dumped 6 to 12 inches of rain across upstate New York and northern New England. And again, what's happening is you're transporting this deep tropical moisture from the Gulf of Mexico or from the Bahamas on into areas that you've got, you know, the terrain starts to go up several thousand feet. You get orographic uplift. With this particular event, we had a cool air mass sitting to the north. So we're lifting all that warm, moist air up over a cool air mass. And that, by nature, helps squeeze out the precipitation. And right along the boundary where you've got the cool air to the north, the warmer air to the south, is where we've seen the very heavy rain all along and east of the I-95 corridor. And once you get into New England, it's been south of I-95 that we've seen the heaviest rain.
And of course, this soaking rain, Rob, comes on the heels of all the devastation and damage we saw from what was Hurricane Ida, a Category 4 storm that slammed into Louisiana. President Biden is still planning to head down there to tour the damage. I mean, where does this storm stack up historically in terms of the type of impact it has, not just in the epicenter, but across a huge part of a country like this?
Well, I think it's probably going to get put in the category of Hurricane Camille back in 1969. Camille was one of the strongest hurricanes to ever hit the continental United States. It made landfall on the Gulf Coast just northeast of New Orleans. And then when it crossed the Appalachians in Virginia, it dumped 20 inches of rain and caused all types of horrific flooding in the central Appalachians, went off the coast of New England and redeveloped into a tropical storm. So it's up there. I know the estimates, at least around the Louisiana area for this storm and its damages, is $40 billion. But now we've got to add on top what's gone on, you know, from the district in Baltimore, northward through New York City and into New England. New York, the damage is going to be, it's going to have caused quite a bit of damage. I don't know how long it's going to take them to get the subway system back up and running because they have to pump it out. Then they have to check all the lines, all the electrical conduit. It's certainly going to be one of those top 10 storms for damage in the continental United States.
And we're only halfway through this year's hurricane. hurricane season. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carroll, and thank you so much for keeping us updated on the aftermath of what is now post-tropical cyclone Ida. But whatever you call it, it has left a deadly wake. Reports now from New York City police, at least 7 people dead from all this flooding. Another in New Jersey. We will keep you updated, of course, as we continue cleaning up from just this mess left by all that rain. Ahead of the market open, futures are moving higher. We've got S&P futures right now up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures up 30 points. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 1.28%. And the yield on the 2-year right now is 0.20%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather today, sunshine, low 70s after the storm. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, low 70s, sunny and upper 70s by Saturday. Currently 62 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The remnants of Hurricane Ida have New York City and other parts of the Northeast paralyzed this morning. We get the very latest on the situation live with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The remnants of Hurricane Ida made a deadly mess of the city that never sleeps. Stalled vehicles were littered on roads from floods caused by the heavy rains from Ida. At least 8 people are dead from the flooding in New York and New Jersey. A state of emergency was called along with flash flood warnings. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says we're in a dire situation. The MTA had to suspend all subway service in the city. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
What I'd say we're hearing on the subways, and I spoke to Governor Hochul earlier as well. I mean, we've got subway problems all over the city. Again, basically, they're not functioning in most places.
Overnight, de Blasio told people to get to safety.
It is absolutely crucial for people to get off the road. If anyone's thinking of going out, don't. If you're on the road, get to safety immediately. Do not go to the MTA. As you, I think you know, subway lines are having tremendous problems. In fact, our first responders are getting people off some trains that were stuck.
Some subway riders had to stand on seats in flooded out cars. And also in New Jersey, at least a person died due to the tornadoes that touched down and the flooding, including one in Mullica Hill, where several homes were destroyed. The storm carried into New England with threats of more tornadoes. Live in New York, I'm Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, Michael, that heavy rain is hitting Boston and the southern part of Massachusetts. Strong storms moving from New Bedford to the Cape. Rates of rain as high as an inch an hour. We've got details on that coming up in Boston News in just a minute.
We also have major news in politics to fill you in on this morning. The Supreme Court has made a move on abortion. A split court decided not to block a Texas law outlawing most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The state measure now stands as the strictest abortion regulation in the nation.
Moderna may be getting a step closer to a booster shot. Bloomberg's Renita Young reports.
Moderna says it's filed data with the FDA for clearance for a third dose of its COVID vaccine. The company says the shot uses a reduced dose that's half as much as the existing vaccine and that it raised antibody levels against the Delta variant by more than 40-fold in a clinical trial. After its U.S. submission, Moderna says it plans to also submit the data to regulators in Europe and other countries. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:33 on Wall Street, we continue our coverage on the aftermath of Ida. Back to Michael Barr with the very latest. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. There's more on the remnants from Hurricane Ida in the tri-state area. At least 8 people are dead from flooding in New York and New Jersey. Cars were littered on the Grand Central Parkway, the Bronx River Parkway, several interstates and roads, all flooded at one point, catching cars and drivers who tried to make it through.
The car just started floating and shut off.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We have our first responders out there responding to a lot of situations around the city. We got over 5,000 homeowners without power. This is a hard hit we've taken from Hurricane Ida.
Mayor de Blasio says he has never seen this much rainfall in a short period of time. Tornadoes touched down in New Jersey, destroying homes in Mullica Hill. Traffic, obviously, it's going to be a mess. Let's get more with Traffic Live with Peter Van. Peter?
All right, Michael, that flooding and the panted cars we were just talking about now causing problems with the George Washington Bridge. Cross Bronx Expressway, you have the flooding eastbound between White Plains Road and Castle Avenue and multiple abandoned vehicles, so delays 5 to 10 at the George Washington Bridge. Not too bad, Lincoln Tunnel or Holland Tunnel. FDR Drive is still closed with flooding issues from the 60s right back up towards the RFK Triborough Bridge. Flooding in Queens, LIE westbound Springfield Boulevard over towards Oceana Street. You also have an accident on that westbound side by Queens Boulevard. Flooding has the Garden State Parkway closed down both ways, exit 143 towards 145, and then northbound from 145 up towards 147. Also extensive flooding on Route 22 through Union. Michael?
Peter Van Live, thanks, and we'll be checking with Peter throughout the morning. The New York State Legislature voted to extend an eviction moratorium for tenants who fell behind on their rent because of hardships caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. New York's previous eviction moratorium expired Tuesday. Governor Kathy Hochul.
We're not going to abandon our neighbors in need, especially since the state of New York failed in its responsibility to get the money that was allocated by Congress out to the people in need earlier this summer.
However, Governor Hochul faces a likely lawsuit from the Rent Stabilization Association. Catherine Garcia, who failed to secure the Democratic nomination for New York City mayor in June, was appointed on as Director of State Operations by New York Governor Hochul. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time to check sports. Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Yankees come home in a good mood. They won the first four games of the road trip. That stretched their winning streak to 13, longest in 60 years. They lost the next four, but they won last night thanks to Gerrit Cole. In seven innings, Cole struck out 15, including Shohei Ohtani three times. He did not walk a batter. Since returning from COVID, Cole's 4-0, has allowed only two runs. Yanks beat the Angels 4-1. Here's Aaron Boone on his ace.
He's obviously had some really good ones in his career, and certainly with us the last two seasons. That for me was up there. I mean, that was a guy in control. I felt like a step ahead of those guys all day. I felt like his fastball was, you know, probably as good as it's been all year.
Luke Voit, two hits, two RBIs, Aaron Judge, a home run. Yanks get tonight off. The Mets will host the Marlins. Their game last night obviously rained out incredibly. Another Mets general manager is in trouble. Zach Scott got a DUI 4:15 Tuesday morning in White Plains. He got the job when Jared Porter earlier this year was fired for inappropriate text with a female reporter. Aaron Boone's father, 73-year-old Bob Boone, has resigned his front office job with the Washington Nationals rather than comply with a mandate to get vaccinated. Hall of Fame pitcher John Smoltz and former Met and Yankee hurler Al Leiter have both been barred from working in studio at the MLB Network because they haven't gotten the vaccine. And with New York City not allowing fans into indoor arenas who are unvaccinated, that means all Knicks and Nets players have to be vaxxed or they won't be allowed to play. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins us live from his home this morning, pre-scheduled due to these times, but coincidentally, worked out pretty well for you, Dave. Hope everything's all right.
Yeah, fine as far as I can tell. I mean, we have power in the house. I haven't had a chance to look around the neighborhood. I will tell you, though, it looks like I'll be working from home all day because trains aren't running on New Jersey Transit except on the Atlantic City line,
right.
Flooding on the New Jersey Turnpike, you name it. It's going to be a tough one.
Just a complete mess this morning. But let's take a look at stocks. Obviously, the market open goes on. What are you looking at this morning?
Well, there is a bit of a mess when you go through some of the earnings reports, especially from late yesterday. Veeva Systems, a maker of internet-based healthcare software, down 7.5% after giving a fiscal year revenue forecast. It was basically in line with analyst estimates in a Bloomberg survey. Now, Veeva's down, even though second quarter results beat projections. Then you turn to Okta, the cybersecurity company. It's down 3%. after beating fiscal second quarter estimates and raising full-year forecasts. Now, that stock had climbed 16% in the past 10 trading days, which may explain the loss in early trading today.
All right. So also got a lot of tech earnings to go through as well.
Oh, absolutely. And you've got some more disappointments. C3.ai is down 7.5%. The developer of artificial intelligence software reaffirmed its fiscal year revenue projections, even though first quarter sales topped estimates. Asana is a positive, though, up 10%. The maker of task management software raised its annual revenue forecast. Then you have the cloud computing software maker Nutanix up 6% and the cloud-based banking software company nCino up 7.5%. Turning to retail, Five Below down 8.5%. The seller of items priced at $5 or less reported fiscal second quarter sales that trailed estimates. And Chewy's down 10%. The online seller of pet products had an unexpected loss for its fiscal second quarter. Quidel, though, up 2.5%. The provider of medical tests said its COVID-19 tests will be sold over-the-counter at more than 7,000 CVS pharmacies across the U.S. and also online. Couple more earnings from today. Donaldson, a maker of pollution control equipment, down 1.5%. The company's fiscal year earnings forecast trailed estimates. And Hormel Foods, the maker of the canned meat Spam, down 2%. Hormel cut its fiscal year earnings forecast after third quarter profit trailed estimates.
Okay, Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thanks for joining us as always, and glad everything's all right for you as far as the storm goes. And taking a look at stocks as a whole as we get set for the Thursday morning open, futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 8, Dow futures up 57 points, NASDAQ futures up 35. Little change for European markets this morning. The 10-year Treasury is up 2/32, yield 1.28%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.20%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. After all this flooding rain, it's going to turn partly to mostly sunny today. Low 70s today and tomorrow, and we'll be in the upper 70s by Saturday. Currently 62 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures rising this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the green right now, with Dow futures up 49 points. S&P's gained 7. NASDAQ futures are higher by 31. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.29%. Gold is little change, but Bitcoin is up by 3.5%. And Japan rose 0.3% overnight. While European markets are little change this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims and trade balance. And at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Chewy reported is down 10% pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, Hormel missed by a penny. In other news, Moody's cut Nordstrom's credit rating to junk. And wrapping things up, Starbucks has rated a new hold over at Deutsche Bank. Price target there, 127. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The remnants of Hurricane Ida ripped through New York, New Jersey, and across the Northeast early this morning, triggering tornadoes, thunderstorms, and torrential rain that inundated streets and paralyzed transport services. Major thoroughways, airport terminals, and subway stations turned into waiting pools. At least 8 people are dead in New Jersey and New York. California Governor Gavin Newsom will probably survive this month's recall election, according to a poll by the Public Policy Institute of California. With about 2 weeks to go before the voting concludes on September 14th, the survey shows just 39% of likely voters will back his removal from office. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees and Red Sox won. The Orioles, Giants, and A's lost. The Mets and Nationals games were postponed because of weather. In tennis, Sloane Stephens knocked out Coco Gauff at the U.S. Open. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Framing Afghanistan.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Joe Biden's Afghanistan speech on Tuesday got the most important thing right, and lots of less important things, well, not quite right. What he got right, as he has been doing for the last 3 weeks, was to frame the events as a binary choice, staying or leaving. That put him on the popular side of a question. Polling still suggests that a solid majority of Americans still supports ending the conflict. It also put him on the right side of the media's and the public's attention span. As a piece of theater, the speech needed an edit and another rehearsal. Much of it was overly defensive and still didn't answer some of the obvious questions. But Biden has done what George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump didn't do in Afghanistan. I suspect that what he did is eventually going to be seen as more important than how he did it, and will certainly be more important than Tuesday's not very memorable speech. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where they've been dealing with some of the aftermath of the remnants of Hurricane Ida. But the top stories from our nation's capital include the Supreme Court allowing a six-week abortion ban to stay in place in Texas, the White House beginning a push to raise the debt ceiling, and former President Donald Trump weighing in on a Pennsylvania Senate race. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Government Congressional Reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Let's start with this abortion ban in Texas. The Supreme Court had already let the law go into effect, but last night, pretty late last night, actually, it released its opinion on the case. What did it say?
Yeah, so what the Supreme Court did last night was deny a request to, in an emergency sense, block this bill from going into effect. The legal objections to the bill can still continue, but the word from the majority in this 5-4 decision was that while they acknowledged some of the objections to the law, saying it conflicts with the Supreme Court's holding in Roe v. Wade, are significant objections, there were procedural hurdles that they had to go through, and the challengers in this did not quite meet the muster to earn the Supreme Court coming in an emergency sense and blocking this in the short term. So on the merits, we still have a lot to look for in the future as this works through the courts. But this at least was a very concerning thing to opponents of Texas's law, because at least in the near term, it's going to stand.
And in that near term, Jack, it's also raising a lot of questions, particularly for abortion rights advocates, about what this could mean longer term for the future of Roe v. Wade, given where the Supreme Court came down on this particular case.
Yes. I mean, if you try to kind of parse the statements in the majority opinion, the minority opinion, you only had the three liberal justices, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Breyer, say that in their view, this is an unconstitutional law in Texas. You also had the Chief Justice, John Roberts, join them in the minority aiming to block this, but he did not specifically say that he thinks this is unconstitutional. So potentially there could even be six justices who ultimately support this law or are okay with it going forward. It's very difficult, especially because when you look at Congress, when you look at the executive branch, their hands are pretty tied on this. Clearly there is not the willpower right now in Congress to pass a law codifying Roe v. Wade or something along those lines. So it's the kind of thing that you really just have to let play out in the Supreme Court right now.
Well, what kind of reaction are we getting at this point from Congress? Have any lawmakers weighed in? And what are we hearing from the president?
Yeah, the president has weighed in. A lot of Democrats have weighed in, criticizing the Texas law, expressing disappointment in the fact that the Supreme Court did not block this. But again, in a legislative sense, in a practical sense of what they can do, there really hasn't been a push for concrete action. It raises some questions about Supreme Court confirmations. Obviously, Democrats are upset with the confirmations still of Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. But it's not as if there is a legislative plan to undo this or some clear path forward for the president to step in.
Well, in terms of legislation right now, as you know, Jack, the focus has been on the president's economic agenda. And now we're seeing the first moves from the White House when it comes to raising the debt ceiling. We've got not a whole lot of time left there before we raise the question of whether the U.S. defaults on its debts.
Yeah, we face a sort of murky deadline. Officially, the debt limit came back on August 1st, but the Treasury can effectively bump the deadline back by delaying payments and taking so-called extraordinary measures. But that means we don't know exactly when the deadline is. The estimates are sometime in the fall, maybe October or November. There was some big news last month when Democrats put out their reconciliation instructions for their big $3.5 trillion bill that allow them to pass something through the Senate with a simple majority, and they did not include anything on the debt limit. So their plan is to try to get at least 10 Republican votes in the Senate to work with them on the debt limit, despite the fact that we've heard Republicans, including the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, say that that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So right now, there is really just a standoff over whether Democrats should go it alone or try to get a bipartisan deal.
Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. Jack, thank you for joining us. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The United Nations Weather Agency says weather disasters are striking the world 4 to 5 times more often and causing 7 times more damage than in the 1970s, but these disasters are killing far fewer people. In the 70s, the world averaged about 711 weather disasters a year, but from 2000 to 2009, that was up to more than 3,500 a year, or nearly 10 a day, according to the report. In the 70s, weather disasters cost about $175 billion globally when adjusted to 2019 dollars. That increased to almost $1.4 trillion for the period from 2010 to 2019. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. antitrust officials are preparing a second monopoly lawsuit against Alphabet's Google over the company's digital advertising business. The government claims that Google is abusing its dominance. Sources say a lawsuit may be filed by the end of the year. And Apple has resolved a long-running dispute with third-party developers. App creators will now no longer have to pay an App Store commission of up to 30%. The change is part of a settlement with the Japan Fair Trade Commission, and Apple says it'll be implemented globally early next year. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And futures are higher this morning, with S&P futures up about 8 points. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz, and will continue to keep you updated on the remnants of Hurricane Ida and the aftermath as well. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.